All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. It's Anti-War Radio. And I got Chris Floyd back on the show. He's the author of the book Empire Burlesque, and that's the name of his blog, too. It's at chris-floyd.com. Empire Burlesque, High Crimes and Low Comedy in the American Imperium. And the article in question today is called What Lies Beneath the Essence of Modern America in Somalia's Blood-Drenched Soil. Welcome back to the show, Chris.
Hi, yeah, good to be here. Thanks.
It's great to talk to you again. Never one for understatement, and I'm so happy about that. I think that you're exactly right, but I want to hear it from you. What is the essence of modern America, and how do you find it in Somalia's blood-drenched soil, Chris?
Well, I will have to disagree with you right off the start, though. I do think... I do a little bit too much of understatement. I mean, it's really hard to state the reality of what's going on. So, you know, you can try as hard as you can. You can be almost as scornful as you can, but you're just not really going to touch the depths of the vileness that we're involved in. But that aside, well, what's going on in Somalia, as we've, you know, you and I have talked about this many times here before, Somalia has long been sort of a, you know, microcosm of the whole war on terror, and as you know, and I'm sure most of your listeners know, the war on terror goes on unabated, even if Obama has changed his name or doesn't use the name anymore. But what's happening in Somalia, as you know, as it mentions in the article, is what we're seeing is the fruit of now a decade, actually more, but let's say a decade of very hands-on American involvement in Somalia, which has driven it from I mean, from one level of hell deeper and deeper to another level of hell. You know, just a quick capsule, history, the early, right after 2001, right after 9-11, I'm sorry, after 9-11, the Bush administration, the American administration started, supporting warlords in Somalia. You know, the CIA started running their own favorite warlords in Somalia and, fomenting sort of an anarchy free-for-all down there, which brought on so much suffering, so much destruction, even in a country that had already been basically destroyed for more than 10 years at that point, that there came up, these Islamic groups formed. It was called the Islamic Courts Union. These were Islamic groups, Islamist groups of different hues. You know, there were one extremist group involved in this union, and all the rest of them were moderate or liberal groups, however you want to say it. But what they did was they got rid of the warlords. And they imposed a sort of Islamic state, not an Islamic state like the Taliban, but it was under Islamic law. But what they did do, you know, and I'm not saying it's a state that I would like to live in myself, but what did happen was that they introduced some peace and stability in Somalia for the first time at that time in almost 16 years. In the article, my article draws very heavily on a wonderful article by Jeremy Scahill in The Nation. You know, Scahill is a really top-flight reporter. He's been on the scene there. You know, I mean, a lot of stuff I do, I write about the work that these other guys like him do. I mean, he's been on the scene. He's talked to the people. And but in any case, what happened was the Islamic Courts Union were there. And this is what the Americans just could not stand. Now, they had peace. They had some peace in Somalia. They had stability in Somalia for the first time in 15 years, as I said. But and these Islamic Courts Union, they had nothing to do with al-Qaeda. They had one group in there, al-Shabaab, who were some extremists, a very small group. They had, there might have been, this is from the U.S. intelligence, there might have been a dozen individuals in all of Somalia who had some sort of affiliation or leaning, or they thought about al-Qaeda. I mean, this is what they had there. But because the ICU, the Islamic Courts Union, was not, they weren't in the pay of the United States. They weren't like the CIA warlords, like the warlords paid for by the CIA. You know, they weren't our boys. They just weren't ours, you know. And so they weren't our gang. And so, which is how the Americans would look at it, how the American elite would look at it. And so what happened was is that the Bush administration colluded with Ethiopia, long-time deadly enemies of Somalia, you know. It's just to invade Somalia. And Ethiopia invaded Somalia with an army paid for, you know, funded, armed by the United States, and with the United States taking direct part in the invasion with some bombing runs and death squads coming in to kill people, all sorts of things, which, you know, which I've written about for years. And of course, the result of this was the usual hellish occupation. Ethiopia was very brutal in their occupation. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people were made refugees. Tens of thousands of people were killed. And these things, you know, this is what the American involvement brought about. But then the Bush administration left, and finally Ethiopia pulled out. And all you had left then was Al-Shabaab, which was this very virulent extremist group, who were left in the field because we destroyed every other moderate influence, we destroyed every other system of government, we destroyed every other sort of pillar of society. And as we've seen everywhere, you know, who goes into these voids? When we destroyed Iraq society, who came into the void? Well, there's extremist groups or sectarian groups. And so Shabaab has been waging a war against several groups in Somalia. So that's bad enough. But when Obama came in, his policy has been to go back to the original policy, which is aiding warlords. And so that's what we're doing right now. It's called the dual-track policy, the so-called dual-track policy, where Washington is both supporting sort of this rickety government that's been propped up for years by some African Union troops. And also, but they've gone back to paying the warlords. And now what's happening now is that Shabaab has retreated somewhat. Some people say it's a tactical retreat. Some people say they're getting defeated. But in any case, what is happening has been reported by Scahill and also by the New York Times even. So, I mean, it's actually real because the New York Times has reported it. Well, what we have is the reemergence of this warlord state. And this is all happening at a time, of course, the one thing that people might know about Somalia from the last few months is it's facing one of the most catastrophic famines of the century. They've got, according to the latest figures, there could be 750,000 people at risk of death by the end of the year. And of course, this can't really be treated or addressed properly because of the chaos that's going on there. So all of this step by step has been aided, abetted, and directed by American policy. Under Bush, under Obama, it's the same thing, and of course it goes back further than that. So this is what's happening in Somalia. We've had hundreds of thousands of innocent people killed. We've got millions displaced over the last 10 years, since 2001. We've got almost a million people on the edge of starvation. We've got 400,000 refugees driven out of Somalia by the famine into Kenya, where there's one of these horrific tent cities in Kenya made up of Somalian refugees is now the third largest city in all of Kenya. So what we have here, this is the same model we've seen everywhere. We've seen it in Afghanistan. We've seen it in Somalia. This militarist intervention by the United States, this imperial intervention in order to impose our will or at least get our, some willing tools in there, some willing puppets in there, leads to the collapse of societies, and it leads, of course, to the growth of extremism, the very thing that our war on terror is supposedly, ostensibly about. But one thing I wanted to mention that Scahill mentioned in his article, which is very, very telling, I thought, was at one point, now, of course, you know, in the last couple of years, we've had all these
quickly, diplomatic... now, we're almost at this break.
Okay. I was just going to say we have a lot of diplomatic... cable's been released by WikiLeaks, there was a very telling cable there that where the United States was saying when the ICU came in, it says they would not allow the ICU to rule Somalia. So this, to me, is the actual essence of the American empire, and is that, you know, is the Washington itself decides who can rule and who cannot rule in what country. And this is sort of the bedrock of what we're looking at.
That's right, yeah. They had a great piece at Foreign Policy in Focus a few months back where it is made absolutely clear that they twisted the arms of the Ethiopians and had them do it. It seemed like, obviously, they had participated in the initial invasion, but they really forced the war on the Ethiopians as well in the wicked
days. Yes, they did. Yeah.
Now, we'll have to hold it right here. We'll be right back, everybody, with Chris Floyd from chris-floyd.com. The article is What Lies Beneath the Essence of Modern America in Somalia's Blood-Drenched Soil. All right, y'all, welcome back. It's Anti-War Radio. I'm Scott Horton. I'm talking with Chris Floyd at chris-floyd.com. The article is What Lies Beneath the Essence of Modern America in Somalia's Blood-Drenched Soil. And there's reference here to the last couple of pieces by the heroic Jeremy Scahill in The Nation magazine. That's thenation.com. The latest is Blowback in Somalia. I'm in agreement with you, Chris, that this is the best one yet by anyone on this subject, with so much information packed in here. And you just gave the best summary of the history of what's going on here and what it all really means, I think, that I've heard in a while, although I might disagree with you about how bad things were in Somalia before September 11th and before the Americans started supporting the CIA. You know, they had obviously been through a lot since the fall of the American-backed communist dictator at the end of the 1980s, but they had, you know, the greatest rate of growth in their economy with no central government at all. And then, as you say, it was American support for the warlords that ended up giving rise to the Islamic Courts Union in the first place. Now, the Islamic Courts Union, I believe, or maybe this is a couple of steps back in the story, Chris, is part of the puppet transitional government that the U.S. and the U.N. are trying to install there. And now they're left, because the Ethiopians are gone, now they're left trying to hold on to the government that we're letting them have anyway, but trying to protect it from the Al-Shabaab youth militia that really only rose up to help them drive the Ethiopians out.
Well, it's true. What happened is, it's not the whole ICU, but it's the person who was the head of Somalia when the Ethiopians came in, the head of the ICU at that time, is now the new president. You're right. He himself, what happened, of course, the ICU fell apart in different places when the Ethiopians invaded. But yes, the man that the Americans and the Ethiopians invaded to get rid of in Somalia, they have now put back in power in Somalia because he's not as bad as the people who took over when, from what they unleashed, as you said, Al-Shabaab. Well, it's true. I mean, the main, as you were talking about Somalia before 2001, it is true. Here's the main thing that's true about Somalia and why it is a microcosm, why it is, and why it's important. I mean, beyond, well, that's the wrong way to put it, beyond the actual human lives, the human lives in Somalia that are just as important as, you know, the human lives in the United States, just as important as the people who were killed on 9/11 in America, the people who are dying in Somalia today are just as important. I just want to put that in there. But one reason why Somalia is important in the bigger picture is because it represents this principle that has guided the American imperium, if that's what I like to call it, the American militarist system, for decades now. And it's the principle that if people in other countries are not allowed to work out how they want to run their country. As you know, Somalia, as you said, Somalia was in a lot of anarchy and things like this, but they weren't allowed to work out how they want to run it. You know, as you say, perhaps in a lot of ways they were thriving, but they weren't allowed to. No one is allowed to work out their own destiny because can only be controlled by Washington because of this cult of militarism and this cult of big moneyism. It's all, of course, it's all tied together. There's money in militarism. But this was really exemplified. This wonderful quote that Scahill got from the current mayor of Mogadishu, because he's talking about what's happened now, because we have the warlords rising again on purpose with the support, the direct support of the Obama administration. They are paying these warlords to rise up and cause the same sort of Hydra-headed warfare in all directions. But here's what he said about the militias, you know. They're not fighting for a cause. They don't want a system. They want to keep that turf as a fixed post. Then when the government comes weak, they want to say, we control here. And when I read that in Scahill's article, it just struck me like a bolt from the blue that this was the perfect encapsulation of what has been happening in American policy for these 40, 50, 60 years, or 200 years if you go back far enough. You know, as I wrote, this is precisely the vision and this is precisely the goal that drives our humanitarian interventionists and our neocons and everyone else who takes part in the American war machine. They want to say, we control here. And as I say in the article, this, to me, is the foundation stone of modern America. This is why I said it's what lies beneath. This is the essence, you know.
Yeah, that and no memory at all. That and complete and total ignorance. I always think of the quote from the French foreign minister Talleyrand after the revolution about the Bourbons, that they learned nothing and forgot nothing. And in this case, history in Somalia began the day before yesterday. All of a sudden, there's this Al-Shabaab movement we have to go and do something about. And no acknowledgement whatsoever. And really, who can blame even the people in D.C. responsible for the policy? They don't know the first thing about it. The media won't cover it at all. They don't know anything except what it says in their State Department reports. And, you know, apparently they can't even remember ones from a few years ago. Now there's a problem with some group in Somalia. Now we're going to have to begin intervening, I think, Chris.
Yes, and yes, it all, yes, and yes, of course it goes over and over again. I mean, I think you've got, it's a dual track, just like the Obama policy. You have the amnesia, you know, the United States of amnesia is in Gore Vidal's famous phrase, where no one remembers anything and no one retains anything, as you say, even up to the official level. But you also have this guiding principle where, of course, this guiding principle is part of the amnesia. It's like, if you actually remembered what these things did, maybe you wouldn't do it. But the guiding principle is that we have to control, we have to say who rules, and if whoever rules needs to be in our ballpark, if at all possible, you know, by any means necessary. Mm-hmm. And so we see the same policies over and over and over again. People talk about 9/11 is the day to change the world. No, these are the same policies we've been seeing since the end of World War II. So over again, over and over again. But because, you know, whether people remember the effects or not, the general public, that's one thing they don't seem to remember the effect. But whether our policymakers remember the effects or not, they still seem to me to be driven by the same principle. And the principle is something, as you say, I think, it's something that's entered into their minds so deeply that they can't even see that it's a principle. It's just that we have to control, and they don't even question it. That's one reason for the amnesia, because they don't even question it.
Right.
You know, we have to control this. We have to control here. And this is what drives them.
I understand this is all in the propaganda or whatever, but still, I think there's a difference between going to war against Iraq that has the fourth largest army in the world that invaded poor, helpless Kuwait back in 91, for example. Obviously, that's just, you know, the simple TV narrative or whatever. But compare that to America at war with the smallest, weakest, most pathetic nation state in the whole wide world, Somalia. The biggest bully ever, the USA, picking on the weakest little collection of people you could find on the planet. And then tell them again the numbers of the casualties here, Chris.
Well, yes, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of people. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of people killed in the last 10 years. Hundreds of thousands of human beings, you know, slaughtered by what these forces unleashed by American policy and by what American policy has abetted. But, well, you're true, because that's another aspect of what we have is America wants control, our elites. They seek control, but they will only pick on someone who won't fight back. You see, who can't fight back. And so we had the war in Iraq, we had the war in Afghanistan. These are all Iraq was already broken by our sanctions. Afghanistan was already a ruined state, and now Somalia. These keep going down. Yemen will be next. Yemen is also a small state. And so it's yes, of course you have. You have the greatest military force in the history of the world, which is run by cowards who are cowards even by their own lives, because they won't challenge the people who could actually strike back at them. Right. So it's an unseemly situation, to say the least.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to give anybody any bad ideas or anything like that, but I think it's worth pointing out that there have been somewhere near two dozen Somali Americans who, and not even Somali Americans, just American Muslims who have gone abroad to go and fight in Somalia and doesn't against the American side. And it doesn't seem like much of a stretch to imagine that one of them could get the idea that maybe he doesn't need to travel across the world. He could fight his side of the war right here. And a couple more red alerts, and that's it for even any pretense of a Bill of Rights in this society. And that's the kind of fire that we're playing with. Doesn't have to be another 9/11. It could be a tenth of the strength of 9/11. But another real terrorist attack, like if the Times Square bomb had, like, succeeded in Oklahoma City-type fashion, something like that, forget about the Bill of Rights forever.
No, absolutely. Well, this is one thing that I note in the article is that all these policies in Somalia, especially in other places, they're only building up hatred. They're building up just what you said, you know, the desire for revenge, and they're radicalizing people. And we know this. The intelligence services will say this. And I mentioned this is what we could be doing in Somalia as we're building up, you know, the mother of all blowbacks. We've got generations of hatred sprung from this unfathomable suffering that we've inflicted on these innocent people, you know. And then the people in, this is another thing that Americans don't seem to realize, is that people on the receiving end of American policies, they know where it's coming from. They don't have amnesia. They know the warlords are in the pay of the CIA. They see the American drone missiles falling on their children, you know. They know what's going on.
All right, we got to leave it there.
It's only the American people who don't know.
Thank you very much, Chris. Everybody, chris-floyd.com, what lies beneath. Thanks very much for your time.
Yeah, well, good. Good to talk with you.